Welcome to Book Club the Musical, where we do not sing and we don't read books. This is episode 3, and we're talking about Doris, the commercial debut from Earl Sweatshirt. This is a very long discussion. We dive deep into the thematic elements of the album a lot more than on our last two episodes, so I'm gonna let it start as soon as possible. Get ready, let's go. I don't want to do the background for Earl myself because I would do it, but I think Alex would probably do a better job. So, Alex, you should do a little background.
Okay, so a little background on Earl. He was sent away to a Samoan kind of school for degenerates.
And just because while he was a part of Odd Future to begin with.
Yeah. And basically his stardom kind of formed while he was there. And then when he arrived back in the States, he basically just immediately started on this album. And it really goes into a lot of how he feels like coming back and just all of a sudden being famous. And he doesn't know how to approach it really. Anyone else have anything else to add about that?
Just very basic. He's from Odd Future.
Yeah, he's from Odd Future.
When this album came out, Odd Future was a super huge deal for people who are paying attention to rap music right now. You might not even know who Odd Future is because they all split up, basically.
Yeah, this was like peak Odd Future. And there was a whole scandal because Fader sent people like tracking him down, like stalking him to find him, and that's like what delayed the album even more, as his mom found out and was like, no, now you're staying there longer, like, are you kidding me? Because like they like just were stalking his family.
And then this is from 2013. In 2012-2013, Odd Future was basically running the like fashion rap,
just every aspect.
They were influencing production a lot. They had their own TV show. So anything from Odd Future got a ton of attention. And I think this is probably the album that is like the testament to Odd Future. Like now that it's kind of over, this is the album that you can go back to and say, this is probably for some people, it would have to be a Tyler album. But for me, if someone asked me what was Odd Future, I would point them to this album first.
Definitely.
Okay, so, I kind of led the discussion for Gorillaz, and Alex did for Melty Cannon, so, Alana, do you want to start us off?
No. okay, so the first one's Pre. All
right.
With S.K. LaFleur, which I thought was, I don't know, a very him intro. Because this whole album has that weird, like, delayed beat, like, buzzy noise going on. And that was the whole thing of this. It was, like, really slow. And, like, that's when you get, like, a sense of his style, I think. It's because it's, like, just drawn out, dull, monotone, like.
Yeah. But it works. And then the raps are, like, kind of, like, on the offbeat and a little faster than the beat is. But it still, like, totally works out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the synth. That's like the first thing you hear when you try on this album. Yeah. It's a little bit. It cuts through the noise, but it's also very smooth sounding.
Yeah.
I think the decision, well, coming off of our background, Earl's gone for however long, and he touches on this immediately after this track with Vince Staples' speaking part in Burgundy.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you're back, I need some raps, I need bars. That's what people were saying, probably Earl's friends and his fans online, is Earl's back, we want bars right away, where are the bars?
Like, we don't care what's going on with you, like, kind of thing.
Yeah, we don't care, where are the bars?
Like, we destroyed everything, but it doesn't matter.
But the first thing you hear when you turn on his album is someone else, not even Earl.
Yeah.
So, and it's not someone who fits. He's not mismatched.
He's not Odd Future.
Someone who is Earl's style. It's not Odd Future. Mm-hmm. He's not
He's not doing multi-syllable crazy stuff. He's not doing what Earl fans want to hear right away. He's doing what Earl wants us to hear, basically. Because I know Earl, like, Earl did songs with Riff Raff, and he's a huge Lil B fan. Like, Earl knows that there's different facets to hip-hop besides just bars, 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 bars. So he starts the album by having someone else set an expectation for, don't listen to this album for how good I am at rhyming. Listen to this album for what I'm saying. I think that's what he does.
I totally agree. It's like also important to touch on how different he is from Rock Feature, and that he, yeah, he uses them a lot, but he doesn't rely on them. And you can kind of see maybe sometimes that, like, in the early days, like, Tyler relied a lot on everyone else to do it too, and they all relied on him once that first album came out, like, to do everything. So Earl pretty much stayed, he was gone, but even when he came back, he was always a little far removed musically.
I think you could support that looking at the production credits. Most of these beats are at least co-produced by Earl, and there's I don't think there's anything from Left Brain, and I think there's only two from Tyler. But with the amount of features on this, I don't think he is as independent yet as he will be in the future.
Yeah, because when I Don't Like Shit comes out, he's producing almost every single one himself. He doesn't have a lot of features.
Are there any features on that?
I don't remember. I'm not too sure. Remember. But I know, like, that there wasn't as many, and he, like, basically did it all, like, almost in his house. And
there's only four features, and none of them are Future. Just Vince Staples, the only same one.
Yeah, so at this point he's branching out, but he's not independent yet.
So next is
Burgundy.
Yeah, we did Burgundy kind of.
Yeah,
well, just Vince's part, which is, like, when you see featuring Vince Staples, you want him to rap, but he raps two other times in this album, so that doesn't matter. And he's pretty funny when he's just talking. I figured leading up to this review that we're just gonna say the rapping is really good a bunch of times, so I went ahead and pulled quotes just to back up examples. So if the poll I pulled for Burgundy is, in the midst of a tornado, misfitted, I'm Clark Gable, I'm not stable, as brace as a fuck, and they pay me, I'm chucking crossfaded in public, heart race until blunt is lit, like, he don't give a fuck again, right? So that's just an example of the wordplay that's going on in this song. I like the beat. It's the kind of post boom bap where the drums are, like, falling out of rhythm, and it's like everything is slightly off. It's a little more jazzy than traditional boom bap, but it's by the Neptunes, I think.
Yeah,
looking at the sheet here. Yeah, produced by Neptunes, and I'm gonna come back to this a little bit later, but the second verse on Burgundy, his flow picks up a lot, which is something that doesn't happen a lot in this album. He's going slow, chilled out a lot of the times. The second verse has a lot of energy to it. You don't know yet when you're listening to this, but there's a sprinkle of variety in there.
And I think he does make a really good, like you said before, he does make a really good point about how, like, no one really cared about what he was doing. And, like, he literally just came back from everything that had happened with his family and his grandma passing, and people are still just, like, demanding. So I like that he didn't really give in to what I think the fans were expecting from him, and I think that's a really good part of this album, too.
Yeah, if you look at the album from a thematic whole, pre is the intro paragraph, and then Burgundy is, like, the thesis statement at the end of the intro paragraph, kind of.
And that goes back to the whole independent thing. Like, he does not get influenced very well, because now he's just mad. Like, half the songs are him just being like, no, fuck you, I'm not doing that. Like,
yeah, I'm not going to do what you want me to. Like, I'm going to do what I want. And I think it makes the album that much better.
Same. Because you can almost say that, like, Odd Future gets redundant sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say that because all the different people in Odd Future are very different. I'm not a huge Odd Future fan, but I appreciate how different all the members were from each other.
I did too, but sometimes I feel like I try and listen, and I'm like, listening to, like, this all could have been, like, volume three. Like, all of these songs could have merged into, like, another compilation album.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I will say
that. Like, when I listen to Earl, it's like, that's a different artist, sort of.
Yeah, I will say that, like, all of their different styles together make it very interesting. Like,
yeah.
When we get to Sunday, like, I'll talk about it more, like, with Frank Ocean and stuff, but just all
we
of
could just start talking about Sunday unless someone has something
about
important 20. To say about
what I just love not. 20 I love the 8-bit 20 wave caps. It reminds me of Bowser's Castle, and that's all I have to say about that.
Sunday is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Quote I pulled for Sunday, I got two, one from each. I'm fucking famous if you forgot. I'm faithful despite what's in my face and my pocket, and this is painfully honest when I say it, I vomit. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Multi-syllable stuff and thematically coming back and being famous just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Dealing mm-hmm. with that. And then Frank Ocean, this rap blows my mind.
Amazing.
To this day.
Love when Frank raps.
Like, yeah, he should.
It's like poetry.
I want a full,
he like doesn't include
yeah, I want
it
a full
in like
rap
his
album.
His real stuff. Like,
it's a shame.
It really is. It's
but
like,
the quote I pulled from Frank, and this is for a very specific reason. He says, "Standing ovation at Staples. I got my Grammys in gold, polka dots on my Brit. I'm not supposed to be stunting. It's all melodic, this song. I catch this vibe in my sleep, but I'm just jet-lagged is all." That's like 8 bars, and he only rhymes once, but it still sounds good.
It's yeah. poetry.
No one else could do that.
Yeah.
Nobody else could do that. I don't understand it.
And I like the hook being so, like, just, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It's the first song with a hook, too.
Yeah, and it, like, switches it up completely.
Yeah. Also, love the diss that he does to Chris Brown. That is my favorite part of it. That was fantastic. Just, like, and then the outro also to the song is just so great. Like, with what's West Coast weather if you're bipolar. Like, that whole...
Yeah.
That whole
yeah, and it,
bit.
It folds into the hook, kind of. Because the first time the hook comes around, it's Earl, and the second time the hook comes around, it's Frank.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, cut and paste like a lot of songs are, where
mm-hmm.
you just cut the hook from the first recording and paste it in the second one, and then he just kind of keeps going after the hook, so it's almost like it's almost just built into his verse and he just keeps going.
Yeah.
And that's a cool different way to approach a hook than just copy pasting it. Also, the production, the drums specifically on this song are so good.
Yeah.
They're very just soft and they kind of just pull you along with the words. It's not forceful like a lot of rap drums are. It's got,
no, they're pretty quiet.
It says it's
almost.
Yeah, it says it's produced completely by well, Earl uses Random Black Dude as
yeah.
his producer name, but Random Black Dude and Frank Ocean. So this is something that you could tell, like, Frank Ocean would write this to sing over, maybe, but they used
yeah.
it as it's got more of an emotional
yeah.
tint.
Which is cool
and
that,
like
he mixes that shit together. Like, that's another thing. Like, his whole album's really different inside of itself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't want to sound repetitive. Hive is one of my favorite songs of all time.
That first line gets in my head all the time.
Oh,
like,
my God,
I wake
yes.
up thinking of it. Like, every time I hear the song, like, for the next week, like, that's the first lyric. For no reason.
It's a different... It's a different angle on the theme of the album, too.
Yeah, and that's, like, his core mumbly song, like...
Yeah, talking about how, I guess previous to this, he's talking about how he's been affected by the pressure to put together an album, and now he's saying that he's kind of displacing some of that pressure and not taking the lyrics seriously. He'll put his fist up, which I interpret as he'll do important, like,
he'll
politically,
like, yeah,
charged
exactly, like, he'll
music.
Represent,
he'll do that later. Right now he's got to get a quick buck, his dick sucked, and maybe a gold chain. So there's a little bit more of humor, and it's, if I mean,
it's,
if you listen
honest.
To a lot of
it's
the songs
really
on this
honest.
album, yeah, he's not just he's not just feeling weird about being famous. He's bragging about being famous. He knows he's an amazing rapper. So he kind of brings that angle in on this song, which is we're probably going to keep coming back to this word variety. If you put this album on and zone out, you don't hear a lot of variety.
No.
It kind of flows into itself. But when you dig into it, that's when you get the variety. That's where the details come out, and that's what Earl is really good at.
And I think this is like, what was he, 19 when he did this? When this all came out? 18, 19?
Yeah, he did Earl, his first one, when he was 16.
Yeah.
So I think he's 18, around 19 or 18, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's like the, what else would you expect like an 18 and 19 year old to say when he just came back from like middle of nowhere and everyone's throwing money at him? Like, yeah. I think it's the funniest thing.
But very self-aware in the Earl sweatshirt way.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled a bunch of quotes from this song from him and from Vince Staples, because this is probably, these the three verses on this song's are the like rappy rapist, in my opinion. I'll stick by that statement. just to me, for my taste of rappy raps.
Yeah.
So I got, the description doesn't fit, if not a synonym or menace, then forget it. Intern these critics and interns admitting the shit spit, it just burned like six furnaces. And then later he says, and this is more of a thematic thing going back to putting his fist up. Later, he says, breaking news, that's less important when the Lakers lose. There's lead in that baby food. Good rhymes there, but also he's breaking a little bit, and he's saying he's not happy with the state that the world is in. He's not ready to do anything about it yet.
Because he's trying
to get there. Yeah.
He's like, I just got back.
Yeah, he's like, my guy, like, you couldn't do this when I was gone. Yeah.
And then Vince's verse on this always blows my mind. It's a testament to how good Earl is that I don't skip him.
I want to share the tweet this verse is so on good. Rap Genius
next
to his name from Thebe, Earl Sweatshirt. This is the best rap verse of the year on Hyve's 32 bars or some shit. It took that nigga 15 minutes to write He's the Best, and it's in all caps. So.
Yeah, that's. I didn't know it took so quick to write. This is a rap masterpiece.
Yeah, this.
What I pulled was, quit with all that tough talk. Oh, this is just the beginning of the verse. You know you ain't about shit. I'm skipping the N-word. Come around, we gun them down. Bodies pile, Auschwitz, bulletproof outfits, weapons concealed. I'm ready to kill, so tested. All my weapons are real. God damn.
And I think he doesn't even put on that voice so heavy, like that classic Vince Staples voice. Like, this is kind of before he blew up, and it's more of just, like, him talk rapping, in
a
sense.
And then he says, wishing that they never gave these weapons to kids is a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
And then he says, tools hit like pool sticks the way I cue shit. God damn. and then another, the last thing I have to quote, tell him Free Smalls off palm with the heat drawn, strapped up as long as the chief of police armed. That's real. That's real shit.
Yeah. And I think that's something interesting that, like, I like the Vince Earl friendship, because Audrey doesn't have anybody who talks as blatantly or as, like, politically about this type of stuff. So
yeah, Vince goes political.
Yeah, so, like,
Earl, he doesn't care about
is
it,
the
like,
youngest, but he's like, fuck that, like, I'm going to talk about something real, which isn't saying that Tyler stuff is bad or anything, but it's just, like,
I like that
combo.
There's some YouTube video with Earl and Vince in the studio, and Vince says he's jealous of Earl because Earl can just rap about rapping, and Vince says, I have to write songs about things. Yeah. I can't just rap about rapping. So I guess he's the foil to Earl being reluctant to talk about real things. Vince is the foil to that at the end of the song. He does not care. He goes right in. He goes to gun control in a completely different angle. He goes to gun violence, violence with children, and he's pointing fingers. He's talking about what the cause of this is and all that. He's not just describing it as a problem. He's like, this is what causes these problems. And it's all in like a really hard and really like the flow is like calculated and cool. All of it comes together in apparently 15 minutes. It's unbelievable.
Which is insane.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But I think also Earl's beats kind of give you leeway with how you want to rap, because they are a little slowed down, and like Earl obviously like goes up and down with it, like he changes up his flows. So I think it's like, that's also an interesting thing. It's like people have more of a free form when they come to
they have a lot of freedom with like
to be a little more
in the speed
yeah
to be a little more specific about the beat. The Ride's cymbal on this song mm-hmm. is pretty unique. I didn't hear that in a lot of songs leading up to that, but it's something that I've definitely tried to emulate just specifically off of hearing this song.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice until revisiting it, but the bass sound is, I think, just a bass guitar, and it's got a more organic and gritty sound to it than a bass synth.
All right. Chum, which is a classic.
I love Chum. I love how...
I think everyone has to love Chum.
I know. It's so emotionally and just, like, honest.
So
and
honest, yeah.
I know. I just love... This is the part of Earl that I really love. I love that he can just be so raw and emotional with his raps. And it's, like, something that you can feel and relate to. And Chum is definitely, like, get up off the pavement, brush the dirt up off my psyche. Like, I love yeah. that line. That is probably one of the most memorable lines for this album for me. And I know it's off of Chum, but, like... You can't just it's, not love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chum and Hive both have great hooks, which you might end up missing listening to the second half of the album. There's not as many hooks.
I would, yeah. But, I think the second half of the album goes more to classic Odd Future noise.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm. But this hook is just him rapping. Like, the most dense lyricism on this song, I think, is in the hook. Through the city with criminal stealth, welcome to enemy turf, harder than immigrants work, golf is stitched into my shirt. That's not something that another rapper would put into their hook. That would be the climax of their verse. Yeah. And he's also got a good line that kind of references, because I think something that he wants to say on this album is he doesn't hate his mom for sending him away. Yeah. When he should have been famous.
Yeah.
And the line that he brings up on this one is, Mama often was offering peace offerings, think wheeze, cough, scoffing, and he's off again. That's him admitting he was in the wrong when he was ignoring his mom to do wild stuff. And it's bad for his health, bad for himself, and I think his 16. Fans... I think he knew his fans hated his mom. And he didn't want that to continue, so he left the kind of some apology stuff in this.
A album. Lot of that. I mean, like, I think it's even in I cannot remember the song, but it's like Crace. Oh, he like calls out the guy who did it, like Wes Craven. Is it this one? No, it's not. But there's another one. I feel like it's Whoa.
Oh, is it the line where he says like he's Wes like Craven and these expect me to yep. say thanks. Yes, for making exactly. my life worse. Yeah.
Exactly. It's this song.
Exactly.
Just to be, yeah, he's like, I know you happy now, craving in the complex. Don't track me down. Just to be the guys that did it, like, I like attention, not the type where you're trying to get a raise at my expense. Supposed to be grateful, right? Like, thanks so much, you made my life harder, and the ties between my mom and I are strained and tightened. And then he's like, this makes me want to call it quits. Back a week, and I already want to call it quits.
That it would be so crazy thinking of it from... Earl's perspective. A lot of artists on their second album, which this isn't a second album, you get the I don't know how to deal with being famous album.
Yeah.
There's like so many of that. And this is the like the turning that inside out and making the I became famous while I was separated from my fame and people hate like my family for doing this to me, even though I don't, and no one understands who I am, and I'm suddenly famous. Like, it's taking that classic follow-up album archetype and just going to crazy directions with it, and it's all like autobiographical too.
And I think he's more honest. It's not like I'm famous, like, oh, I'm so, like, my money, like, I spend it too much. Like, he was like, no, like, what the fuck, like, am I supposed to do with this fame on the real? Like, at the end of the day, what the hell is this?
Yeah, he takes, like, the whole fame narrative and makes it to what's negative about it and how it's, like, changed his life, not for the better, but for the worse.
Yeah, which is the more honest version.
I'm going to make fun of Weezer, but I love Weezer. It transcends the Pinkerton-style album where I'm sad that all the girls love me now and I'm sad. But I love the album Pinkerton. This is that's why I make fun of it.
The second week in a row Weezer has been referenced.
Yeah.
I love. Gonna keep doing that. Keep a streak up.
Okay, and then the next is Sasquatch. It's the first one with Tyler.
Yeah. It's a very Tyler song. That's what I would say about it. I mean, the bars are great and everything, but just, like, it sounds like a song that should be on Wolf more than a song that it sounds like it should be on here, is what I wrote down.
I feel like every time, like, not, again, I love Odd Future, but, like, every time towards the end of this album now, like, that they're featured on it, it becomes more of a song that you could include in their volume albums. Like, I love it, but again, like you said, it's a Tyler song featuring Earl.
I'm going to be very harsh about this song. This is a black stain on an amazing album. I don't want to... Tyler, the Creator, can rap good. I'm going to cite specifically his verse on Oldie. His two verses on Oldie are amazing.
But Tyler doesn't want to rap good.
This verse is an amalgamation of everything bad that Tyler does when he raps. It's so corny. The rhymes are not impressive at all.
You're trash,
it's all
my guy.
It's all, like, very simple, like, single-syllable words. Sometimes they don't even rhyme quite. Like, he rhymes, stretching. Like, he rhymes, like, sick. Wait, I got the lyrics right here. Hold on. It's,
This is just roasting Tyler, no?
I said this verse is everything that's bad about Tyler. Yeah. If you're not listening to this verse, he's fine.
Everything else is okay.
Yeah, he rhymes Sean Pablo with sick style.
Oh, at the end, I see it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. It's a bad verse. It's a bad rap verse on an album full of amazing rap verses, and it sticks out like crazy.
Yeah.
And it's, Earl's verse afterwards is fine. Yeah. And the beat, Tyler did the beat, and the beat's fine. I think Tyler's a great producer, too.
Should we move on?
Yes.
Please. Okay, Centurion. With Vince Staples again.
There's a lot of songs on this album that is just two people each spitting one verse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The guest goes first and Earl goes second. 20 Wave Cabs, Damo goes first, Earl goes second. Sasquatch, Tyler goes, Earl goes. Centurion, Vince goes, Earl goes. I would have liked to see, not necessarily Centurion, but maybe with, and then Knight, Damo goes, Earl goes, and Guild. Yeah, it's all of them. I shouldn't have listed all of them. That was stupid. But one of the ones with Damo, maybe. Yeah. For Earl and his guests to, like, go back and forth, like, fours or eights, just going back and forth, instead of doing one verse, just to, a little more synergy between Earl and his guests would be nice. When you have the guests on the songs with the hooks, there's, like, a thematic thing to tie the verses together, but when one verse ends and another verse starts, there's very little connection. I think Centurion is an exception because Vince and Earl work so well together, and Earl references Vince a couple times in his verse when he comes in after, so it works together. But just because there's so many songs on this album that have the exact same song structure, I would have liked to see him mix it up specifically with Damo Genesis, because I think that they could go back and forth good. But if he did go back and forth with Vince, that would be killer. I would want, like, a whole EP of him and Vince going back and forth.
I kind of like him presenting the artist first, because I think when you listen to a song, like, let's say you're listening to the song for the feature with the other artists, it's like a weird, okay, it's my song, and now this guy goes, and it's over. So I kind of like him flipping it up. But I think, like you said, with Damo, like, no shade to Damo, but I don't think he's, like, strong enough for that, like, is the same impactful, like, blam blam, like, with Frank Ocean and Vince's. So I think you're right about saying, like, Damo and him should have just, like, gone back and forth a couple times.
Back and forth. Yeah. Beastie Boys style.
Yeah.
I do support putting the guest first on the song. When you're listening to a full album by one rapper, having another rapper start the song is a cool way to differentiate the songs.
Yeah, it makes it more dynamic.
Yeah. But even if it was Earl first, someone else second, it's still the one rapper goes, no hook, the next rapper goes, and then the song's over, leaves a little lacking.
Yeah.
But they're good enough rappers that it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
But Earl is good enough at writing hooks, as we see on Chum. that you definitely want to hear stuff like that.
Okay, so which is next?
523.
Yeah,
which is just nothing.
Yeah. It's just him playing around with, like, beats, and I think it's a really great beat. I wish he actually did, like, do something
with it.
Yeah. Same thing with Uncle Al.
I like having an instrumental interlude in the middle of the album. I think it's good to have just a little touch of production only, no rap.
Yeah.
We also got that at the end of Chum?
It was Chum, yeah.
Yeah, the end of Chum has a little,
like,
similar
beat,
thing.
Yeah,
I like those interludes. They contribute to the pacing of the album. So I support having.
And I think it was well placed.
It was definitely like well placed, like right in the middle. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I accidentally went to look at the lyric, and it had scrolled down for Uncle Al, and apparently he had an opioid addiction.
Who, Earl?
Earl.
Yeah, he started getting heavy with drugs and stuff. He actually was in...
Oh, are you looking at Rap Genius? Or
yeah.
Is it in the actual...
No, Rap Genius, because, like, I didn't want to do it on my phone to keep clicking it. And, so I didn't know it scrolled down, and the first thing I see is Salmon Skin Band-Aid Help with Recovery. This line has nothing to do with race. It's 100% about his opioid addiction.
Yeah, because he started, once he got
Suboxone,
back,
yeah.
he started really, like, heavily experimenting with drugs, and, like, he did become addicted, and I think he actually went to rehab for a little bit for it. That's why he's been kind of, like, off the map for a little, but I think he's coming back with a new album soon. So
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
And you get a lot of the, this is pretty common for underground rap, but this is I do a lot of drugs, but I know that it's not okay.
Yeah, like I'm not having
fun
to
fix it.
Yeah, this is not fun.
Yeah, it's yes.
That goes back to his like honest take on everything that he goes through, where it's like, I could say like I'm doing all this, but why? Because I'm not.
Yeah, because
fun.
he just doesn't know how to cope, because and then it just turns to drugs.
And I think he doesn't value fame as much as everyone else
usually
does. Like, he doesn't see it as a good thing. He doesn't see it as valuable or, like, something you should want to obtain. So then this goes back.
Yeah.
That's why he always, like, flips it. He's like, this is trash.
And you see that a lot.
And he's never...
You see that a lot in I Don't Like Shit, I Don't Go Outside, too.
That whole album is like, please don't listen to this.
Yeah.
Don't talk about me anymore.
He's never rapping just about drugs. He's always tying it into his relationship to his family, to his fans, to his music. It's never a crutch to fall back on and have, like, oh, there's this tragedy that I can always rap about and everyone will always love it. It's always, no, this is actually real and it's affecting this thing. That's what the song is about, not just drugs.
And I commemorate him for that too, because especially with like a lot of like the current rappers, all they do is like rapping about drugs, and like it's just it's different, and but like in like the best way possible for him to just kind of say like these drugs aren't good, like they're actually like ruining kind of
substances.
And I
think like we talked about last week, like, or 2 weeks ago, the like up and coming rappers are so different. Like the young kids are all like the more introverted kids talking about stuff, and Earl was like 19 when he wrote this, and he's like, wait, no, like this isn't fun, like I'm doing it now, like what are you talking about? And that whole like honest rap of like realistic life, like really your life day to day, and how like you just do dumb shit
and just
it's
more
like
relatable things.
It's more relatable and it's a lot more honest and not hyping all your experiences up.
Yeah.
And to bring it back to the specific song, we talked for like 5 minutes about a song that's 50 seconds long. Why is this? It's not a full song. Why is it on the album? It's so short. It just ends.
They
there.
Should have just come. Yeah, they could have combined it
with
523. Yeah,
that's true.
Because then that would have made like sense as like a minute and a half intro or interlude thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think. The beat's a lot different on this than beats on the rest of the album. I think he liked that it threw a little spice of variety in. Mm-hmm. because it's so short, it doesn't accomplish that, I don't think. I don't think, if that's what he was going for, he fell short by not committing to the sound for long enough, and it's just kind of a fleeting moment on the album instead of a true point of variety.
Yeah.
Going back to Burgundy, I think if his flow on Burgundy is more energetic than his flow on this song, which is supposed to be the energetic one. So I think he missed his mark with this, although it's only 50 seconds long, so it just kind of goes by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But could that be a take on, like, what hit, like, the fun thing, or, like, how hypey it is, should be, like, what it would be like, and then him talking so mellowly and cutting it down is, like, reality versus expectation.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that past him. I could see that being something that Earl would do.
Yeah.
That he
kind of chooses more stylistic
to come up with something like
he'll go more stylistic over what would sound better in a way.
So there is a chance that he hit what he's going for, and then I would just draw the line between he accomplished what he was going for and it doesn't necessarily affect me emotionally in the way that he was trying to make it affect me.
Yeah, or it just doesn't line up as good as he thought it was.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, a little credit for cutting the song off short and keeping it mellow when the beat is trying to break out. That's actually a cool interpretation of it.
I told y'all I wrote
the song is
on
so
this
short.
Album.
this is the longest we've stuck onto one song, and it's the shortest song.
And
on
it's
the album.
50 seconds.
Jesus Christ.
I actually thought we might just, like, skip over this when we're talking about it, but that's cool.
Well, I'm glad we did. I think there was more to it.
Yeah.
There was definitely more to it.
You can definitely do this with every single song in the album.
Oh,
like, talk about every single word.
Oh, yeah.
This one's just an interesting one because it's so simple, you think it's just a throwaway interlude. And we found out not so much.
Nope.
There you go. No throwaways.
No throwaway tracks.
No throwaways while Earl is rapping.
Is there an end to that?
Well, sometimes there's other people rapping, and those parts are throwaway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I Spy was a throwaway. Fun fact.
They should have thrown
They should have still thrown it away.
No.
I hate that song.
Okay, but don't do my man Kyle like that, please. I love that kid. I don't listen to the song, but, you know, he made money, so. All
right,
so the next one is Guild with Mac Miller.
I did not like this song as much as I wish I would want to. It was just, I know, like, the whole thing with, like, the sluggishness of the beats and everything, but this just seemed like
it dragged
for far too long, and I'm pretty sure this was when this was Mac Miller's like experimental kind of phase too, and I feel like he had a lot of influence on it just based on that time period. It was like a 3 minute and 53 second drug trip, honestly. Like,
which
that's
is like
what
it's
kind
about.
Of, which is what it's about. So I mean, it worked, but I just wish
is
it I
pleasant?
Liked it more
no.
than I did. No.
I agree. I think this song might be better if it was mixed normally like the other songs. Actually, if on the sleeve it says that Guild was mixed by someone else than all the rest of the songs. Well, Guild and Horse are mixed by two different people, and then all the other songs were mixed by the same person. So this song was mixed by someone else, and you can tell.
You can tell.
That's
not necessarily
interesting.
A good thing. Yeah. I think the point was that Earl figured his fans wouldn't give Mac Miller a chance, so they lowered the voices so that when he starts, you don't necessarily know that it's Mac Miller unless you're reading the track list.
Yeah.
And he has a chance to get a few bars off before you're like, oh shit, this is Mac Miller, and then the people who doubt Mac Miller coming from his pop rap phase to his actually hanging out with real rappers and picking up techniques from them and really improving. I like the album that came out after this was pretty good compared to his earlier stuff. it forces the viewers to give him a chance, but I think the song itself suffers because it's harder to
just hear because of that. Yeah, it's just
seems like the whole mix is a little bit quieter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's really interesting to go back and like say that like Mac Miller wouldn't have meshed with Earl Sweatshirt. Because you think of it now and you're like, that would be fine. Like, what are you talking about? But it's like, this is off of like Frick Pick Market. Like,
yeah.
It's like saying Hoodie Allen should join Odd Future. Like, that doesn't, that's so different. So then, yeah, it's just weird to reflect.
I think it's only the mix, though. I think Mac Miller did a good job and I think Earl did a good job. Mm-hmm. And it's,
yeah, I just wish
it's kind of cool because you're like, oh, this is Mac Miller's voice dropped. And then, like, the whole time you're like, what is Earl's voice going to sound like dropped? He's, like, such a deep voice. And it does not disappoint. So it is deeper. Very, very deep.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's worth the listen just for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, don't know why they sent it to another person to mix. They should have got, maybe they didn't have the stems when they were mixing the whole album, but they wanted to use it. I don't know.
It's weird.
It's a weird thing.
I forget you got the vinyl, so you have all this, like, hidden info.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you could look it up, but even if I didn't have this, I could have guessed that it was mixed by someone else because it's just a little bit quieter than everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next is...
Which isn't good.
Yes, we know that you hate problems in
mixing. If we criticize Melty Cannon for that, we have to come down hard on Earl, who's got, like, a budget and everything in his album.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, right, Melty Cannon.
I can't believe you gave him, like, a 6. That was wild. I thought he was going to get a 9.
I was very surprised.
That was a good album.
It just shows you don't know what to expect here.
Gave it a good rating. Right, molasses is too... It's too mean. It's too mean for me.
Well, that's because it's RZA.
And it's also yelling, I'll fuck the freckles off your face, bitch.
Yeah. Which is, like, when I see that he's on it, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. It stands out as aggressive, but when you're getting to the end of this album full of Earl's anxieties and frustrations, it makes sense for, at this point in the album, for him to get aggressive about something.
Yeah. But speaking of, like, the lyrics being aggressive, I just looked at one, and it goes, I'm a manger-born puppy. So.
That's perfect.
Duality in this song.
The aggression continues into Woe.
Yeah.
I wanted to take over that transition.
I love Woe. Unfortunately, Woe. That's, like, the most, like, popular, besides Chum.
Yeah.
I like it, too. I think Tyler does a good job on the hook.
This is a good Tyler song.
And
it is.
Yeah, and if you're going to have a Tyler feature on your album, this is how to pull it off, and you don't need two on the same album.
But I think this is also when Tyler stopped doing, like, I'm going to murder everybody, and then, like, started making, like, real music.
Yeah.
And this is, like, right in the middle of
this the is his album. Transition, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's funny that, like, the first song is, like, old Tyler, and then now this is, like, oh, there's something more substantial.
I don't think it needs the intro, though. The intro is kind of silly. It's too silly.
It's, yeah, too especially for the album that album. It's, like, an album that's talking about all of his problems, and then to put that, I'm just kind of like, oh, like, you didn't have to do that.
Did they have a falling out?
They did. I don't remember the details, but they did have a falling out between them.
Them specifically. I mean, you can almost feel it.
Like, well, because they used to be, like, they used to act like they were brothers, and, like, you would see them on each other's shit, like, every time you would hear of Tyler, you would hear of Earl, or vice versa. And then, all of a sudden, they just started, like, falling out, and I think it was due to the fact that Earl had these problems with his mom and everything like that, and I think I don't know for sure, but I think he kind of maybe blames Odd Future and maybe Tyler the most.
Especially Tyler blowing up.
Especially Tyler blowing up the Free Earl kind of thing. I think it just kind of harmed their relationship.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's, like, his older brother, and to drag him through this hell when he's, like, 16, mm-hmm. even though
when
Tyler's,
he's,
like,
away
only 2 years older.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he was, like, a mentor to him. Like, that
Tyler pretty much put him on the map for everything, so I'm glad that he is now branching out and making a name for himself, but it is kind of sad to see, like, that, like, their relationship was harmed in the process.
Yeah.
There will be a partial Odd Future reunion in 2022.
Like a tour? Because then we have to go and, like, live. Because like, then we have to get press passes. Like.
Excuse me, we're like, book club we'll be like journalists by then.
We're book club the musical.
I pulled one quote off of Woe. Advanced apathy smashing the man camera up tan khaki and an antagonist Dan dappered up vagabond had us into Padawan. It's got that flow.
Yeah. My favorite line from that is pissed as Rick Ross's fifth sip off his sixth log.
That's a great line.
Just like so ignorant and it just makes me laugh every time.
For very few words.
It's very specific, too.
Yeah, extremely specific. God. But this one's more of a classic Odd Future.
Yeah, it's definitely more classic Odd Future. I called it the obligatory Odd Future song, but it's like, it's not in a bad way. It's a very good song. It's just an Odd Future song.
Yeah.
The reason it stands out so much is because of Tyler yelling at the beginning. I think if it didn't have that, it would flow into the album in a way where you could still be like, oh, this is the classic Odd Future sound, but it still fits
to this album's in its theme.
Album into the album, yeah.
But I do love...
Doesn't stick out.
No. Well, I love the woe as, like, the backing, like, theme throughout the whole song is repeating. Yeah, like, that is why I'm obsessed with this song. Exactly.
It's good.
Just like that.
Just like that. We could do a live a cappella version.
Yeah.
All right, next is... Horse.
I just love the bass guitar I just love the bass guitar.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Okay.
It has Frank Ocean again.
I don't have Frank Ocean.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the hook.
Yeah, he's the one talking.
Oh, additional vocals, I didn't Frank even Ocean. Realize.
Huh?
Okay. It says additional vocals, Frank Ocean. I didn't realize.
I didn't realize either.
It's produced by Bad Bad Not Good, the band. It doesn't, it's like not, doesn't say featuring Bad Bad Not Good, but it is featuring them, basically.
Yeah. I think it's kind of funny, like, to hear Frank on Earl's album because he's almost unrecognizable. Like, for this, you could have said that was just Earl's voice through a bunch of filters or something.
Yeah, just because he's, like, so slowed down, it's like...
And he, like, drops his voice, like, when he raps, too. Like, it's such a different sound. Yeah.
Revisiting this album, I didn't remember this song at all from when I originally listened to it in 2013, but it's one of my favorite songs on the album.
Same.
The production is so dense and detailed, and I think Earl, because of the emotional weight of the production, Earl has a little more emotional weight in his vocal performance, which is fitting for what the second to last song probably should be, the emotional climax of the album, and where he can sound apathetic at points. I think he kind of doesn't force himself to sound apathetic here. I think he lets the emotional side of his performance show through a lot. The beat complements that. It's got an epic feel to it. It's placed in the perfect spot, what I consider to be the climax of an album, the second to last track.
Yeah.
So for some reason didn't stick with me the first time, but now I love it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those songs that you do have to revisit to remind yourself that just, like, that it is there and, like, just, like, a great song. Because same thing with me, I didn't remember that this song was on the album, and then when I revisited it, I was like, wow, like, why didn't I remember this? And it might just be because of an age thing, too, because we were kind of younger when it did first release. And I don't think we were thinking as critically because we were probably like, oh, Odd Future, yeah, like, kind of thing. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that was my thing with it.
We were still saying woe to ourselves while the song was
playing. Yeah.
We're still singing woe.
I think
woe.
It's true, though. Because, like, songs I thought I really liked, not that I don't like them anymore, but I'm like, okay, well, that was okay. Like, songs I remember, like, picking out, like, the Domo track. And I'm like, I don't really like that now. Like,
mm-hmm.
So I think,
and yeah, he does he refers to himself as early man on this track, a reference to the classic Odd Future YouTube video where he's like, where it's like them reenacting him and Tyler rapping together for the first time. Have you guys seen that one?
I haven't. No. But now I'm gonna go look it up.
Oh my god!
After this.
No, you guys. Okay, I'm gonna the beat that they're using is just Tyler going, hot ass beat clap, hot ass beat clap. You guys don't remember that?
No.
And he just starts rapping over that. Oh my god, that's a classic. That's classic Odd Future. That was
Odd Internet Future.
Skits,
like...
Odd Future, yeah. So bringing that, like really stupid internet skit humor, just very subtly, into the most emotional song on the album. Maybe Burgundy is the most emotional song on the album because he talks about his grandma, but into the climax of the album, that's Earl to me. Earl is depressed and sad all the time, like Vince says. And he's just got these brilliant moments of dark humor.
Yeah.
That really leave you, like, just kind of in awe of his ability as a lyricist, where everything can be serious, and it can be funny, and the flow can always be perfect, and the rhymes can always be, like, unbelievable. It's just always happening when he's rapping.
Yeah. Yeah. And then next is Night with Domo, again. I think it's a good summation of the album, and he talks more about, like, childhood stuff with Domo, rather than, like, the recent, like, teenage stuff. So I think it's a good, like, and all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say, it's a really good summary. It's a really strong song to end on. I love the slow down rewind. I thought that when I first listened to it, back a couple years ago, I thought that it was extremely repetitive, but now that I revisit it, and now that it's, like, it goes with the lyrics and the song, and I ended up liking it a lot more listening to it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, like, I just think it was really cool how he, like, slowed and rewinded it, and then it's back to Earl. Like, I just like that. I don't know.
Okay, I was going to say that it doesn't really stand out to me, so it's weird to have that as the closer, and that I think the reason he chose it as a closer is just because the last line he says, so searching for a way to say it right, referring to himself, like, how am I going to address myself when I'm presenting myself as an artist? And he says, young, black, and jaded, visit hazy, strolling through the night. And he's like, okay, I landed on that as a description of myself, and that's going to be the last thing I say in my album, so that's why I chose it last.
Mm-hmm.
But Alana talking about how it's more about his childhood than anything else on the album, and then just looking at my secret information on the record sleeve, it says, contains a sample from the song I've Changed as performed by the Magic Tones. If that was on purpose, where he's presenting his childhood at the end as kind of like a epilogue after Horse, and then it's like kind of hidden in there that this is the starting point, actually, and the reflect back on the album, the last song is the actual starting point, and I've changed and become the monster I've presented in this album who hates everyone and is on crazy drugs and doesn't know how to deal with himself.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I changed my mind by listening to you guys and reading the production credits.
Info.
Yeah.
Good.
The secret information.
The secret info. The documents. Should we do ratings?
I want to just give a little summation of thematically, this is one of the most consistent and strong rap albums just of all time,
yeah.
I think.
Oh,
I don't
absolutely.
Think that's an exaggeration. I think there's such a strong, consistent tie and a story to be told. This is basically a snapshot of this moment in this artist's life, which is the most complicated emotional moment that I could imagine for someone to go through.
To be 19.
Yeah.
Yeah, blowing up at such a young age and being completely separate from the fame and just getting thrust into it and having all of those strains on every aspect of your life, from your family relationships to your emotional health to your romantic relationships, which is covered in Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff, it's this album is full of every attacking those kind of situations from every angle. He does such a good job. This is like, it's a level above what a lot of people consider to be an album. This album really has a story to it, and the track list, the ordering and stuff kind of brings the listener through it in a really calculated way.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I just wanted to do like a summary after we go through the individual tracks.
Yeah. Okay, so who wants to go first for the
rating?
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. I can't give an album a 10 out of 10 if I have to skip a song when I listen to it, and I do have to skip Sasquatch. I'm not gonna listen to that song ever.
I'm not gonna
except
listen to that,
I guess. Yeah. I just wish it wasn't there. I wish I could. It just got cut out.
Yeah.
Just have Earl's verse. And I mean, we mentioned like the nitpicks that we have with some of the songs while we were going through it.
Yeah.
I guess if everything was perfect except for Sasquatch, it could be a 10 out of 10 for me. But I don't have to review, like, there are things that we thought he could do better. Those are pretty much nitpicks in my opinion.
Yeah.
Sasquatch sticks out as like, oh, this
a
song
mistake.
I can't even say that this song is good. It's like almost a bad song on this album.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, 9 out of 10. Amazing album.
I think I'm also gonna back your 9 out of 10. I think to have a kid come out with like one half album before, then be far away and then come back and all that pressure, and to have such a consistent sounding album and the production side be so great and so well thought out, and then on top of that have those lyrics that are so dynamic, and choosing the right features and placing them on the right songs. I think everyone was placed on the song they should have been too. So I think definitely a 9 out of 10, but I think there was room to grow. It wasn't a perfect album yet.
And then one day we'll do I Don't Like Shit, and we'll...
It's going to be a wild ride.
That's going to be...
Or his... We'll actually probably do whatever is up next, because whenever that comes out, it'll get nominated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Immediately.
Maybe we'll try to stick I Don't Like Shit before that.
I'm also going to give it a 9 out of 10. I loved the absolute rawness of just, like... That's the favorite thing about Earl. My favorite thing about Earl is just, like, he can just pour his emotions out onto these and just still make it so consistent and good. And then the features, like you had said, Alana, are on the right, everyone's where they should have been. It's just, you're right, there's room, there's still a little room to grow. And I just think that, like, with Sasquatch the way it was for you, I think Guild was that way for me. Not because of the lyrics or anything, because Mac Miller did a really good, the bars on that are not bad. It's just the fact that it is so, it's just like a sore thumb just because of the production and because of just how slow it is just, I can't do it. I can't give it a 10 because I have to skip Guild when I listen to this.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So that's just a 9.0, our best rating so far.
Mm-hmm. Go Earl.
Definitely earned it. I can say that's the best album we've listened to so far.
Yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. I had high
expectations.
I thought like we would all vote like very highly on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe Alex just didn't have as high of expectations for Melty Cannon, so she was pleasantly surprised by it.
I think
versus digging super deep into.
That's what it was. I was just a little more pleasantly surprised. And that's probably why
you can't change your score.
I'm not changing.
Official it in.
You're not
but,
me with the
no,
gorillas.
I mean,
where I'm like, never mind, guys.
Yeah,
now that we're not like serious anymore.
Now that we're not.
But would you just outside of doing number ratings, because sometimes these don't translate perfectly?
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider "Soft and Wet" by Melty Cannon to be a better album than "Doris" by Earl Sweatshirt?
No.
Okay. so that it's based around like a little bit of the expectations of the
artist. It was based because
I
have listened to Earl before, but with Melty Cannon, I have never listened to Melty Cannon before, so I was pleasantly surprised by what he had brought to the table, basically. And then I listened to him more, like, his past stuff, and I think that had affected my rating.
Yeah.
Cool. So, for checkouts, I just want to say, just as a follow-up to our last episode, Melty Cannon released another song in between. He's going to do an EP with Lord Narf, and they released a single, Rent. And that's really good. And then he released a solo song called Infatuation. Those are all really good. Check those out. My nomination for new releases this week is the Sweatshop Boys EP Sufi La. Sweatshop Boys is Heems from Das Racist and Riz MC, who is more known as an actor. He's in Rogue One and the TV show Night Of, but he's also a rapper. And they released an EP previous Friday.
This okay, past that's Friday.
My official nomination. Official nomination. Sufi La. Is that what it's called? Okay. I think so.
Check out Jeezy just dropped 4 songs for Fox because it was his birthday last week. And they're pretty typical. Like, they're fun Jeezy songs. They're nothing fun. They're nothing new, but they're fun. So still check them out. There's E40. So anything with E40 is good. And then I guess my nomination is Riz Levy, my friend. Really sweet kid. From Jersey. He has a wild sound. It's so weird. You don't think it's just him and this kid he found in Georgia who's like a child looking kid. He looks like freaking Michael Cera. Also very nice. God. He looks a lot like Michael Cera, like a cooler Michael Cera. But this kid, so Riz does all the lyrics, which are super layered because I didn't know one song from his old album. What was it about? Like, I was so certain I got it. And then when we went to the show, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, guys, like, that's not what anyone thinks it's about. So, like, he's really dynamic with how he writes his lyrics. He creates all the songs. The other kid just does all the instrumentation, all the mixing, all the producing, and it sounds, like, high-end. So, that is my suggestion. I love that boy.
Okay. Alex, do you have any check-it-outs or nominations?
I have some check-it-outs. My friend Mike Scarola, he's under the name Lated. He just released a single, Last Night at Midnight. He can be found on Bandcamp, lated.bandcamp.com. He's acoustic, indie, kind of easy listening. It's very emotional, but it's also just like, it's a very nice sound. And the rest of it is coming out, I think, in 2 weeks, but I will revisit that. And then Spin by Tiger's Jaw just came out. I'm a huge Tiger's Jaw fan. They're kind of pop punky indie, really emotionally make you want to cry kind of stuff. But it's
very indie.
it's really good.
I have a question that you.
What?
I have a question that you might not know the answer to. There is a singer called Wiccaface Springs Eternal who I heard is the former frontman of Tiger's Jaw, is his solo stuff side, and he's still in Tiger Jaw. Do you know anything about that?
I'm not too sure. I could look it up, but I'm not too sure. I know the girl's name is Brianna, and then the guy's name is something else, but it's just the two singers.
Well, is it the same people who's always been in Tiger Jaw?
I think so. I'm not too sure. Yeah, I'm really not sure about it, but
I'm gonna try to search it.
I think the girl was always there, but I think
it was always that girl. I know. For
yeah,
sure. I'm pretty sure it was the same guy too.
Yeah, maybe
he's not big enough to have like a Wikipedia page or something.
They do,
which
have
is
a
weird.
Page.
I think they're pretty big.
I thought they did. Have
no,
a
not Tiger's Jaw. Wiccaface.
Oh.
I was like, they
okay, most
I was like, you should have one.
They're pretty big.
Okay. Wiccaface's real name is Adam McIlwee. And he left Tiger Jaw in 2013. So he's been out for a while.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I just...
But yeah, definitely
some underground check out music facts for the listeners.
Check out Spin. It's a great song. There's a really good song with... it's pretty, like, Brianna heavy, which she has such a great voice. And June is probably my favorite song out of that. So Definitely check them out.
So is Tiger Jaw a check it out or a nomination?
It's a check it out.
Okay. It doesn't matter because I am going to back up on Sufi La and I'll second Alana's French because that'll be fun to do. As long as you don't get mad when I completely trash
him. Go ahead. No, he's a sweet boy. I like harass him. Like, it's fine.
I'll definitely second Alana's nomination.
Hopefully
too.
It's good.
All right, so it's...
Hopefully it's good.
I hope it's... Yeah, guys. I really like the first... The first song is by far my favorite.
Is it on... How do you do SoundCloud?
It's on Spotify. He actually got... It premiered on Billboard. Billboard premiered him on the front page.
Nice.
Spotify put it on their artist to check out, like, the number one song on there. So the album's called Keep by Riz Levy. R-I-Z space L-A space V-I-E. He's a good kid. And then if you have time... then check out the first album, because I think the first album is wild for that to be, like, his first five songs ever.
Okay. Is it on Apple Music?
Yeah, it's on Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, awesome. Everything. Yeah.
Awesome.
He's not signed yet, yeah. So it's just everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. I've been in the outro just saying my Twitter handle, but I forget you guys should probably say that too, or Instagram or whatever you... want people to follow you on if people decide to follow us at any point when they discover the podcast.
Decide to.
Okay.
Or opt out. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have Twitter, so I guess just my Instagram, Prosecco Mommy, spelled incorrectly. 1S, 1C.
Good luck. Good luck finding that.
And you can follow me on Twitter as Super Duper Cud. C U D, Super Duper. So, yeah.
Okay. Alana, you should join Twitter. I'm at VeggieNug on Twitter, thinking about changing it to something more similar.
Okay, that was it. We talked for more than an hour about an amazing album. Keep the outro short. We're on Google Play now, if you have an Android. I'm going to keep uploading to YouTube, even though no one watches it there, just because I like the thumbnails that I've been making. And I think I'm not going to put links to the music in the description anymore, because it becomes a huge mess when it gets formatted for iTunes. I'm just going to type out the name of the album that we are going to be listening to next week, so you can find it easier, because it is three words said in quick succession, so it might be tough to figure out how to spell. And it's Alana's Friend, so I want everyone to listen to it. And hopefully that's not going to be a conflict of interest when it comes to their review. I guess I'll have to give it a horrible score to make up for that.
I really liked they did with it.
I think it was a good summation.
Someone go first.
I thought you were going to go, yeah.
I think it's just a good summation. Oh my God.
This is hard.
Okay.
This is really hard.
I think it's just a...